This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
I pull up at Dave's girl's house, ring the doorbell, and he answers the door. I say, I have bad news. Sonic Highways, the real Sonic, Sega won't let you use him. It can't be about him anymore. But you should have it be in about music now.
Okay.
And it actually
because
became...
I had taken a late night phone call from him where he was like, "Do you think I could do the Sonic Boom thing that Guile used to do?"
Yes.
And I said, "Well, I'll talk to my other video game friends, but I feel like you did the one video game thing, it didn't work. Now you're going to go Sonic Boom. Why don't you just use Hayes' idea and make it about you did what? It's a music thing?"
Yes, and now it is in about music. But the original conceit of, like, imagine how fast Sonic could go down a highway racing a car.
Well, was, and also imagine doing a punch that's a Sonic Boom.
On a highway.
Yes, to a highway. You punch the concrete, and how many cars would be excited about something like that?
So, I don't know. At some point, do you say you just don't do it at all? But people like the music that he did.
Yes. He was in Goo Fighters, is that right?
Yes, he was in the Goo Fighters.
I confused them with Foo Foo Dolls.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet linebacker hallways of this industry we call showbiz. It's nice to laugh after being so mad, and go ahead.
What up? That's just, you know, we don't have to do it, but I think when we don't do it, it can create a little bit of a weird
energy.
People
say, what happened? People say,
yes, they're scared. And
where did you go?
It is, of course, the basis for our sticker, so.
Well, like I said, it was a week of being mad because there's a lot of stuff that's wrong with this country, and it has to do with sometimes politics, and occasionally it's about taxes and things like that. But this week, the main thing that was wrong with America was you all saw this magazine cover.
Ugh.
And I hesitate to even describe it in detail.
Well, I hesitate to even call it a magazine.
Yeah, I mean, and specifically the magazine is Paper Magazine, which is like, yeah, we know. And the image on the cover is Kim Kardashian, as if she needs any more attention.
Mm.
And
is she the pose that she's in and the wardrobe choice is something.
It's desperate.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a desperate cry for look at me and I'm on a magazine and it's made of paper and everyone has to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so pathetic. And the fact that people actually apparently bought it and looked at it just makes me very scared for my children and my children's children and what this country is. Because we used to be about something. And if you were famous and you were on a magazine, it used to mean you had talent.
Because the question for me is, what does she even do?
Well, she doesn't do anything.
What does she do?
Hayes, she doesn't do anything. What does she do? Literally, let's talk about what she actually does. She's on a TV show and gets her picture taken. Okay?
That's a job?
That's
today,
a job
that
all of a sudden?
Your job?
And why? Because people want to look at her? Like, okay, being a beautiful woman having your picture taken, that's suddenly a job? We don't even have a name for that. You know, give me a real celebrity.
Mm.
Give me Kate Upton from The Other Woman, an actress, you know? Mm. That is a celeb.
Mm.
Like, because she's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a songwriter like like Paris Hilton, you know, had those that single out.
Mm-hmm.
Now that, to me, or Coco, Ice-T's wife.
And remember, if you think back to the days of Betty Page and Jane Mansfield and how they used to, I think they were professional USO performers. They used to go and do, and they would do dancing for the troops.
And they got there because of their talent. And I miss, where is our generation's Zsa Zsa Gabor? Now, here's a woman. She was a very famous woman for a very long time because of her talent. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because she wore jewelry and was glamorous and beautiful, but she was famous because, well, mostly because she was married so many times. Mm-hmm. But Kim hasn't been married but three times.
Well, that was a tradition that Paris Hilton inherited, actually, because you remember, just like Zsa Zsa, she went to go live on a farm. And so when is Kim Kardashian going to go live on a farm?
She's never been on a farm at all. At all. And so it just makes me wonder, like, are we just picking and choosing, like, oh, this person's famous because a lot of people want to look at them? That's not fame.
And when you think about role models, when you just think about role models for a second, and who we're choosing to celebrate with our magazine covers, and you think about all the scientists that are out there.
Oh, please, just go ahead and just name one right now.
Well, and see, that's the problem, because I can name a bunch. Carly, for example.
Yeah.
And they're doing things. You know what happened this week? Do you realize what happened to the news this week? We just sent out a spaceship and we stopped
put it on a comet. We put it on a comet and made it go away.
Yes, from potentially hitting the United States.
From hitting the United States and, from what I've heard, maybe hitting a bus. And if you think about how many people are on a bus at any given time, minimum one to be driving it, and there's seats all the way down them.
Mm-hmm.
All of those could be comet food right now. So,
but what do we do instead? What do we, whose butt do we put on the magazine instead? And we put Kim Kardashian's butt on there. When, what does she even do when a scientist, put a scientist butt on the magazine cover?
Can I just say, I've literally never seen Malala's butt. And this woman won the Nobel Peace Prize. And I haven't seen her butt on a magazine, on the internet. I mean, what are we doing as a nation looking at the butt of some woman who, you know, is just some famous woman and not a scientist or maybe somebody who's even a smart writer?
Yes, what about Joan Didion?
Thank you.
I have, and people say, like, well, Joan Didion's butt is, like, not big enough to be on the magazine. Well, I don't know. We don't know what it looks like because no one will put it on the magazine.
Yes, and there's another picture in there later where you can see her whole, her neneno and her taters. She got her taters and her neneno out. And you're looking at them, and I'm going, well, couldn't this be someone with real talent? Somebody like a Flannery O'Connor or something.
Oh, so sad that Flannery O'Connor and Maya Angelou died and you never saw their neneno even once.
Yes. It's very frustrating. And so to me, I just wonder, as a nation, what direction we're headed, and are we going to actually, maybe we should have let the comet crash into us.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe,
wouldn't that have maybe been an interesting wake-up call?
And if it ate some of those bus people, the comet munched them up, then maybe we'd go, oh, well, we're not really looking at what's important. I mean, somebody like Heidi Klum, okay?
Yeah.
Now, this is a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll tell you what,
She's a fashion judge.
She's a fashion judge.
Mm-hmm.
She says what's good about fashion. She really knows how to get her picture taken, which I don't even know if Kim was doing it right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't in the room, but I got to assume they had to tell her how the camera works, everything. And Heidi's on a reality show. Yeah, and Kim is too, but this one's a competition. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen anybody win anything on the Kardashians except an argument over who's gonna, you know, hang out with Bruce. anyway, it feels good to have fun now that we are not so mad.
It is important to talk about, though, and I'm glad that we did decide to bring it up. And we have a really...
Well, no one's talking about it.
Yes, yes.
And if I could say one more thing...
Except to say, yummy, that's what everyone says. These zombies just look at a big butt and they say, yummy, gimme.
Well, it could look like a peach. And they're thinking they're going to take a big chomp. And you can't. It's so clearly Photoshopped.
It's paper. And they are trying to tell you on the cover of the magazine.
I know it's Photoshopped because from the angle, actually, her taters would be sticking out in front of her shoulder a little bit. And you don't see them.
No.
I mean, you see them later in the photo with her and Nana, but you don't see them in that shot. So I go, well, I know they Photoshopped it. So what else did they change? Did they make it look more like a peach? It's just disgusting to me. And so... You know, thank you to us for being brave enough to bring it up and talk about it and to be upset about it because it's a good thing to be upset about. We still haven't found that plane. We're talking about Kim. Where is the plane?
Put the plane on the magazine.
Somebody put the missing plane parts on a magazine cover. I mean, that's news, or at least a photo of the ocean where we think it might be.
Take your fashion magazine and use it to find the plane. Do something important for once instead of this woman who it's unclear to me what she even does.
I'm so glad they didn't let her get a star on Walk of Fame. They blocked her from buying it, and that was the happiest day of my life. And I said, at least Hollywood still has some morals. And if
the Walk of Fame is for actresses like Patricia Heaton.
And I can say one more thing, and I will. If that magazine's true and they really did break the internet, I'm going to be so pissed because I'm really starting to get the hang of that thing. And my little cousin Sam was really showing me I got pretty close to getting to a website this week.
And some of my financial information is in there, I'm told. And so if it's broken, then I'm going to be in big trouble. And well, then somebody else is too.
And I know who to blame. And it's a certain... woman who lives in Calabasas with her family, and apparently that's news.
We have a great guest today. Paul Scheer is here, and you know him from, we've talked up his show a couple times on this show, How Did This Get Made on Earwolf, and he has the Adult Swim show with the SUV, and he's on the League show, and he's been in the movies. And he's going to come here and we're going to workshop a script together coming right up on Hollywood Handbook.
So I turn to Jill Biden and I go, which one is this again? And she goes, oh, that's the Cave Age Gruyere. And I go, so then what's that one? And she realizes her error.
Yes. Right?
Yes.
Well, that's the thing, because she does that eyes closed, and she just takes a big sniffy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's all a big whiff.
Yeah.
And to her credit, she's very good 90% of the time.
Uh-huh.
But when she's wrong, she's wrong, and someone needs to make her admit it.
What was it?
It was a sheep's cheese. It's not Gouda and it's not, but it is not Asiago. You know what? I wrote it down in my journal, so I will get back to you.
Hey, welcome back to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet line back hallways of this industry we call showbiz. Great guest. A real corker of a guest we have today.
A true corker of a guest.
Is Paul Scheer. And
I would almost say we've been lying when we said we had a corker of a guest before, now that we know what one
in
really
retrospect
feels like.
It has turned out to be a lie.
Well, the pressure is on, but you know, I feel like, you know, I'm going to probably bring my A game here. I feel like I already feel it in the room. I feel like we're going to have a big show.
Well, a lot of people, we've been plugging your podcast actually on the show for a long time.
Thank you. And that's actually really helped. And we've gotten, you know, we've gotten a lot of heat from that. We've definitely gotten some bumps. And I think, you know, the good thing about our show is you guys get the word of mouth out and that it gets a tracking up. And that's really important because it's all about the tracking ultimately. Mm-hmm. Like how is it being perceived? You don't have to see it, but you have to know about it. And that's kind of the whole, I mean, you know, that's the way I work, you know.
Yes, so, yes, the tracking.
Yeah, exactly, you know. Mm-hmm. You know.
Tracking.
And now your podcast.
Yeah.
How We Like the Movie.
Well, no, it's actually called How Did This Get Made?
How do they do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, How Did This Get Made?
How did they the movie?
Yes.
Well, not the movie.
How did they do that movie?
Well, you know what? That is kind of a – it sounds like that. Yeah, it's How Did This Get Made? There's no movie in the title, you know. But, you know, it's with myself and June Diane Raphael and Jason Mantzoukas, and we have a celebrity guest.
Your wife.
That is my wife, yeah.
We love it. We want to know, because people are really listening to this thing.
Yeah.
What would you say you do on it that people like?
Huh, well, that's a good question. Like, why do people like it?
That's something that's replicable.
Yes. Oh, without actually doing your show, is there something, another show?
Do again.
Could do.
Oh, so yes, maybe like this is like kind of advice for like young podcasters out there.
Yeah. Yes.
Start.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And what could
And maybe
could
they have a network that they're working within that should be like a good foundation for listeners.
And they've been doing it and maybe they've been doing it for over a year.
Not totally started from scratch. And the equipment they're using is probably the most expensive you could buy.
And they're plateauing in a big way.
Right, so they're not getting an audience.
Yes.
Well, look, I mean, I'll always say that, you know, accessibility is something that's always important. And what we try to do is we bring the audience in with us. We all watch this movie together. So, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say that you have to watch a movie, but you would want to kind of commune with the audience. You want to be one with them. You don't want to be above them.
How do you decide which ones to include in this? What's the filtering?
Well, you would include
process?
Them all. You would include them all. I mean, you know, we're all equal. We're not, you know, we're not better than anyone else.
Oh. What if you are better?
Better than the audience?
In case they were.
Well, no, you know, not...
I don't know if that's a... I don't know if you could...
Not just... That. Not like better bodies, I mean, probably, but just better, like, they have... what they're talking about, they know more about
things,
it.
More things, and being smarter.
And funny and nice.
Well, I mean, I don't know. They should maybe check themselves a little bit, because I feel like, you know, look, we're all in this together, and we should, you know, I think every form of entertainment is about a shared experience, and you know, we like entertainment that brings us in and not preaches to us, nor does it present something that they can't wrap their heads around. Like, you know, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous is a great example of people that were enormously wealthy and lived a very highfalutin lifestyle.
That is a good example of that.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
But at the same time, the host of that show really brought people in.
Can I tell you my theory?
Sure.
Why people like your show?
Yeah.
We live in a very negative culture these days.
Okay, sure.
Because of the internet and...
Yeah, yeah.
Haters, yes. Yeah.
Instant gratification society. And I think because you take these movies, some of which we've been involved with in some capacity,
sure,
and it's all in good
it's all in
fun.
Just, yeah,
yes.
Right.
Like, nobody like, sets out to make a movie that you go, how do they do this movie?
Right, yes. Yeah.
But I think that's why people like... They like seeing...
Cut things down.
People who have actually achieved something taken down. I think that's what people enjoy.
Well, that's definitely an interesting viewpoint.
Yeah, I mean, get off the pedestal just because, you know, somebody thinks they're important because they wrote Leprechaun 3, you know?
So, okay, so basically, that is interesting. Like, you know, we always try to say that our show isn't about pushing forward negativity. It's kind of the discussion that you might have with a group of friends after you enjoyed or saw a movie that, you know, made you question, how did that get made?
Friends. But, yeah.
And then you take something that someone worked really hard on and
right,
you say
of course.
And you say,
I mean, look, that's something that we wrestle with, obviously. But, you know, look, we are all, you know, different than other people. We're in this business. We're writers and actors and producers. And we've been involved in some embarrassing things. And so we, you know, we feel like, hey, look, we would have a smile on our face if someone did it about our thing. Maybe. We'll see.
And so do we.
And in some of the cases, also, there's a cut of some of these movies that actually does really work that, you know.
Yes, and it's a collaborative process, and sometimes it was the other guys, like...
Well, that's actually a very good point. Yeah, like, you know, there's not one chef in the kitchen. I mean, except if you're talking about, of course, Jon Favreau and his movie Chef, you know, because he was the writer, director, actor, star.
And the chef.
And the chef, literally the titular chef.
Yes.
You know, but that's a very rare example where you get somebody making an independent movie like that and really getting their voice out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how that got made. It was a great cast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. From top to bottom.
T to B.
there were true A-listers filling out the casts. Mm-hmm. And when Johnny Legs says yes, you're going to be looking at a green light for your film.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we all want to achieve that. You know, like we all want to work with our friends. And it just happens that, you know, his friends are giant stars in the Marvel universe. And, you know, and so I think that, you know, he brought them over. And, you know, it was a very, you know, look, but hey, look, you know, he's the same kid from Chicago who made Swingers. And, you know, it just happens to be that, you know, circles.
I heard some of that scene with Robert Downey Jr., I think you're referring to, I heard some of it was improvised. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really heard that.
Yeah, no,
that's how loose they're flowing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, it seems like there's a very loose vibe there. Yeah.
And I heard he said that they were going to get to eat the food after, but they did not end up getting to eat most of the food.
Mm. Oh, so that was like part of the deal. Like if you came and shot this movie, you had to like get some like delicious.
Well, it's fancy food.
Yeah, it is fancy. I mean, it's
But at parts, it's not fancy food, and that's getting delicious. To its roots. Oh, but it tastes great. It
tastes great.
And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Now, Paul.
Yeah.
People have said when you do your movie takedowns, they say, "Well, why don't you give it a try for once?"
Right.
And. Well,
what do you mean, why don't I give it a try?
Well, maybe you see how hard it is.
Yeah.
And yeah, why don't you go and you write a script and then you'll see how it is. Can be pretty hard.
Well, I mean, you know, we don't really get that kind of feedback. But I mean, you know, I've done some things, you know, that, you know, I did a thing called Meow TV, which was television for cats by cats.
Oh.
And that was paid for by these are the wonderful people at Purina. And they gave us a great slot on Lifetime, and it was a really fantastic experience.
Mm.
Yes. But it didn't turn out great,
and the cats didn't like it.
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, the show, as from what we were told, was to appeal to cats, very mm-hmm. similarly to that character in Scrooged, where they wanted to appeal to little animals.
Yeah.
This is actually a real person after that movie came out trying to appeal to cats.
Very similar. Oh, okay. Cats are little animals.
And it scared them?
Yes.
I don't know if it scared them. I don't know if they had a focus group with cats.
That seems like the first thing to, if they want to know whether or not.
If it's really for them.
Well, cats are cagey and they probably wouldn't show up for such a thing. Mm-hmm. Or if they did show up, they probably wouldn't express their truest opinion.
Depends how they're raised.
I'm sorry?
It depends on the race, because you said cats are cagey, and that's sort of this blanket statement where it's like,
okay,
white guys are this, and it's just like, okay, but it's a little bit of environment involved, too.
Okay,
and
sure, okay.
There's actually,
all right, yeah,
there's nurture and nature, and they're not
okay,
all.
But you don't have to, I mean, sure. All right, you're clearly a cat owner.
That's neither here nor there nor in the stars.
I'm not trying to.
Dear Brutus. Okay.
All right, I'm not trying to insult any cat owners out there. I'm just saying that
you're not insulting cat owners. You're insulting cats because you're saying they're all one thing.
All right. Well, okay. Yeah. All right. Only one. Yeah. You got me. I guess you got me on that.
Now, Paul, we have something that we've done in the past that we like to do for some of our guests, and it's a little helping segment. And I don't know if it has a name, but what it is to describe it is you bring us one of your scripts that you have that you're workshopping around town.
I'm very actually excited about this because, you know, you did say, why don't I put my money where my mouth is? And I've been fascinated by the success of the horror genre.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
You know, and I feel like that's the easiest way in right now. Is with a genre film and a horror. Look, I'm a big fan of the Blumhouse people.
Blumhouse. Oh, I was just going to say Blumhouse.
Blumhouse.
Yeah,
Blumhouse.
Mean, you know, Jason they make Blum. Sometimes they make movies, you know, for just hundreds of dollars. They'll make, you know, 15 of them and they only release one. Or even sometimes, from what I've understood, half of one sometimes in the theater. They just feel like that is good and that will be it. So,
every movie they make is based on just items in a storage closet. Storage container, like those Storage Wars.
Yeah.
They bid on a storage locker, and that's how much the movie costs, however much they pay for it.
And it becomes biggest movie because they found the secret, which is what you do. In the trailer, you don't show the movie. You show people watching the movie and saying,
I love that. I mean, this is a genre that I wanted to get involved with because I think financially it's a great place to kind of break into the business, you know.
Yes.
And you go where the money is, and we're not here to judge you. And if more sick perverts want to see fucking Frankensteins bite each other's heads off, then, you know, I won't be there, but people are paying money, and you go where the money is, and Paul, God bless you.
It's the audience's fault.
And it's the audience, and it's their fault, and God bless you.
I do take a different approach. I like to do what Alfred Hitchcock, the great master of cinema, Alfred Hitchcock does. He says, you know, if you show the audience a gun in the first act, well, my gun's got to go off in the third act. Mm. And so what I like to do is have a scary scene at the top of the movie and then wait about 87, 88 minutes. And then in the final 2, 3, 5 minutes, I do a final scare. And I think you come in scared. You're in the middle, it's what's happening, and then at the end, you leave.
Yes.
Yeah, you leave. But when you walk out of the theater, you go, I got pretty scared.
Everything in between, yes. I always say that the whole trick that I'm trying to do with the middle of my movies is make them forget about the beginning so that when it comes back up at the end, they can go, oh, yeah.
It's I use it as I always call films like slot machines. If you win early on, you'll stay there more and more and more because you think you're going to win, but guess who's winning? The casino's winning. So why do I need to write 5, 10 scares in the middle of a movie when I could just wait? Just do 2.
Yes.
You know, 2 good ones.
Because they're expensive.
Oh, my gosh. A good scare is very expensive. I mean, you have to get the right, you know, musical stings. You have to get the right, you know, camera angle on the floor, the feet, whatever it is.
There's blood.
The scary hand coming out of the, you know, the wicker chair, whatever it is. Yeah.
But we don't want to spoil it too much.
Did you print copies?
Yes. Well, we asked our listeners which one of you. We know you have a lot of scripts in development. Which one they would like to hear?
But wait, you printed copies?
I did an e-print.
Okay, great. Thank you. Because I do put on all my emails now that, you know, let's think twice before you print. That's something I'm actually very involved in. One of the things that I'm trying to get the word out about, which is conservation. And that's with water. That's with paper and everything. And this is
plants.
Yeah, you know, plants.
Well, this is printed out. It's formatted so it's all on one page. Great. It's page view.
Great.
The recommendation for a script to read that we got was from Shosho Bro, our friend Charlie from the forums. And he wants to see us read So It Looks Like I Married in Van Helsing.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And Anastasia Vigo reminded us of the subtitle is A Skellington's Kiss.
Aha.
Well, this is nice because I'm glad we picked this one because this is one of the ones that is based on a true story.
Oh.
And it was a merging of two true stories. Obviously, Van Helsing is a great character in the American mythos. And I say that because I think we adopted him from Romania, where he was originally from. This movie will be shot in Bulgaria, obviously, just because of budgetary stuff.
That's obvious.
You know, and The Skellington's Kiss, I put that there for foreign markets because you can sometimes trick people as a romantic film.
Yes.
But it also
– the power of subtitles.
Exactly.
Put Kiss in the
subtitles. Yes, we did want to talk about subtitles and how strong they can be. And for me, I'm listening to this title and – getting married is nice. Mm-hmm. And honestly, and Van Helsing would be a pretty safe person to be married to because he's going out and hunting evil spirits. Yeah. They might not be coming for him. So I feel like, oh, I'm going to get out of this title alive. And then the Skellington has kissed me.
Well, yes.
Yes.
Yes. And I think what the idea of that Skellington kiss is it's you know, is it a good thing or it's a bad thing? I guess you have to spend 90 minutes.
They have no lips. Yeah. Well, they have no lips.
Well, no.
The skeleton.
A skeleton has no lips.
Yes.
A Skellington is a creature that you're going to meet in this film, and that is, you'll see what he has and what he doesn't have.
Oh.
You know. Okay.
And then, Paul, after we read this, do I send you my Lunesta bill? Because I think I'm going to have trouble sleeping with the spookiness of even the Skellington and all that.
Well, hopefully it won't be that high.
No, yes. It won't, I have some.
So should we just start from the top?
Yes.
There are a lot of sound cues in this,
I'll be reading along with you then.
I'll do the stage directions, and maybe you guys can just kind of split up the characters as we go.
Great. Mm-hmm. And I could do voices.
Yeah, you know the voices, that's perfect.
I have two voices, a loud one and a quiet one.
Okay, great.
Okay, there's a sound cue.
Remind me of a really great story, which we definitely have to get into, about Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Great film. You know, which I also thought was a horror film, but it wasn't.
Yes,
only because good... it was like it felt like the last, you know,
it's like Final Destination.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Okay, so it says black screen, and then title card.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like I married in Van Helsing.
Mm-hmm.
Exterior, Bulgaria College. A college boy walks out of the math room. His name is Reuben Carter, and then it says not that one in parentheses. He walks out of the math room with his friend Peason, and he's holding his hair and he's groaning.
Ooh, man. Not a good pop quiz for this guy.
Oh, Peason, you gotta chill, man. You're wound too tight, brother. Why don't you go fucking jerk off to ease the tension in your soul, honey?
Well, I can tell you one thing I could do. Or could I? Nah, forget it.
Don't hold on to me too long, boyo. Ooh, it's my lacrosse homies. What up, bros? High five, high five, high five. Whoa, five.
Hey, maybe I'll catch up with you later. I just have to go in the woods and do something.
Yeah, all right. Look out for raccoons.
That's not all I'll look out for.
Peason disappears into the woods, vanishing into the dark. Creepy music plays as he arrives at a glowing stump.
Yeah, this is actually, this is a definitely a good trailer scene. Oh Lord, you Dark Master, feed me the knowledge. Give me what I need.
Reuben appears in the clearing. He forgot his swag bong.
Oh, Peason,
Reuben, I told you. Leave me be in the woods. You have seen too much.
What?
You must die.
Oh, my insides feel like they're doing something crazy. Like going outside of my skin.
Reuben's insides fall on the ground.
This is not mint, dude.
Hold it right there, foul villain.
A guy pops out of the ground with a big bow and arrow that's made of silver. He pulls it back and he points it right at Peason's brain.
It's I, Van Helsing. And you cannot murder college students here in Bulgaria. Van Helsing! Van Helsing! You son of a bitch! I killed your father. And now I'm gonna kill you. Oh, you killed my... Another one down.
Peason dies in the vampire way where it turns light from the inside and glows out and he explodes. He turns to dust. Reuben sits there. His guts are on the ground, but he is still alive.
Little help, dude?
Yeah, I wish I could help you. But when you look at me, sure, I'm good at killing things, but keeping things alive and living, I'm not so good at. Take, for example, my relationships with women. It's terrible.
Oh, you're having a tough time with the ladies.
Awful. I mean, I wish I could go back to college and just, you know, create a new identity for myself and, you know, just see girls for who I am and not what I do, which is kill the beasts of the wild and awful supernatural things.
Reuben brings out the...
I'm dying, but here, take my student ID card.
No.
Reuben. What an interesting name. Maybe I'll take these hacky sack balls and this backpack and I'll give you my hat. You can wear this hat.
Just be yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do we want to talk about the beginning of that? You'd set whatever, up for a really interesting story.
Yeah. What do you like?
Yeah.
Well, clearly, I mean, it's kind of a fun switch.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Seems like a college movie, obviously.
Yes, it's sort of Van Wilder meets... I don't want to say Van Helsing.
That's actually, I hope you would say that.
Oh, okay, because it is, okay.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to do with it, is just kind of You know, so obviously, you know, you think that these are our first two main characters, but they die within the
They're
first
five. They're both dead yeah. very fast.
Yeah, and so the main movie really starts when Van Helsing, you know, takes the hacky sack ball, takes the Rubens ID, and then he's going to go to college now. It's kind of like the John Cryer movie Hiding Out. I don't know if you're familiar. Anyway, it's about him going there and getting a chance to relive college.
Because he and connects that somehow to his failure in relationships.
Well, yeah.
Well, he's very bad at it. And I know, and I've read the script, but I do want to ask anyway. Yeah. Is Ruben then going to now be Van Helsing and he got the hat even though he has no guts inside him?
That's kind of just what we call like a red herring.
Okay. So you think Ruben might appear as Van Helsing later.
What we're going to actually do, and this is, I don't want to spoil it, but he'll come across him later on and he'll get that hat back.
Okay, that's interesting.
Because, of course, as we all know, Van Helsing keeps his crystals in his hat.
And can I double check with you, through no fault of my own, did the voices of the characters, did the characters get reversed from their descriptions?
Ruben is...
Was Peason the best friend?
Peason
and
is the
Ruben
friend.
Was the main guy?
And Ruben is the main guy.
But then Peason became the main guy and Ruben became the friend?
Well, Ruben is acting a little more like a best friend type throughout.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is that then a sort of a literary switcheroo?
I mean, it's all you can wash it in the sink. That's what I always say. Like,
just, you can wash it in the sink.
It's all you can wash it in the sink.
You can just kind of, you know.
I can't tell you how many times I hear that.
Yeah, just kind of get it in the sink and we'll see what washes out. I think the idea is we are about, I mean, I'm always about in my writing subverting things the same way that, like a Steven Soderbergh does stuff, you know, he'll direct a comedy. But then I'll direct a drama and then choose a movie with like five cameras and you got to pick the movie you want to watch. So like I wanted to be like, who's the best friend? Who's the main guy? Neither. The main guy is Van Helsing.
And it's that old adage, tell me what you're going to do, then do the opposite.
Yes.
Then surprise me when you do what the opposite is by doing it a different way.
Yes.
So should we move on to... One of the later scenes, is there a scene in particular that you'd like us to
focus on? I'd love to talk about the dance scene.
Yeah,
dance
it was interesting. Okay. What is Van Helsing's success with girls now that he's taken on this Ruben persona? Mm-hmm.
But obviously now the idea that is when he killed, I'm all the characters blend together, but when he killed that creature in the beginning,
Peason.
Peason, obviously, that was his name that he used in college, but, you know, he obviously had opened up the wormhole of the stump at that point. Mm-hmm. So that's the runner of the movie, obviously, is that these beasts are coming out of the stump throughout the film. So he's just trying to be a normal guy in college, but these beasts are coming in, and this is a kind of a classic take. I don't know if you've ever seen, like a Brady Bunch episode where, like, they are, like, the brothers look alike, and they have to go on... two dates at the same time, but they keep switching back and forth.
So I don't own a television, but...
Yeah. Okay, but you could. Yeah. Do you have a tablet?
Yeah, I have a tablet, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can definitely download it on a tablet. Oh. So basically, in this scene, he's trying to have a great date with this girl that he really likes. She's on the law track, and... these beasts are coming in because the stump is opened. This is obviously towards the middle where the stump is fully opened.
So let's just do interior college party. Van Helsing and Bree enter the college party. Van Helsing is briefly freaked out by the light combination of lights he's never seen before.
Lordy, Ruben, that physics test was hard. Kabanko's crazy hard. Me, oh my, I didn't think I got a single one right.
Well, look at these foul beasts in the... What are these... dope lights, I mean.
Oh, Ruben, you're just the craziest talking guy ever. No, I guess it's because you're from the north and I'm from the south.
Well, yes. Maybe we should get a beverage and enjoy a... dance of some kind.
But suddenly, the dance floor, everyone's taking turns dancing, and somebody pushes Van Helsing into the center of the room.
Hey now! No, I don't...
Dance! 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 Show him how you boogie, Mr. Ruben! Come on!
I only know one dance. It's Irish step dancing.
What the heck is this geek
Van
doing?
Van Helsing begins Irish step dancing.
I think it's kind of cool.
Everyone around him starts Irish step dancing as well.
Wait a minute. Now
This guy is cool.
Me thinking he's stupid makes me the one who doesn't fit in. Now I'm going to do it.
Everyone with me.
Hey, ho. Now we're getting it. And we're really coming together.
I love college.
Ruben.
Yes.
When are y'all going to kiss me?
Van Helsing starts to lean in for a kiss, but just as he does, some terrifying music starts to play again, and a million vampires crash in through each and every window.
Jaeger beasts! Hold on, my love. I must go to the urinal and forgive myself urine.
Van Helsing disappears into the bathroom and comes back without his Ruben name tag.
I really want this blood. I'm going to get it.
Jaeger beast!
Whoa, Van Helsing!
Look, you guys need to die real quick because I have a hot date going on right now. Or can we do this later, perhaps?
I'm so hungry for blood. What do you have in mind?
Give me 20 minutes. I'm
20
about...
minutes. Okay. All right. Hang on. Let me think. Because I gotta get. When the sun comes up, I got a problem.
Yes. I need to lay my lips on this woman's mouth.
You're gonna do a big kissy on her, huh?
Yes. Yes. Of course. Please, just let me be.
A normal kiss. Or a
what do you mean?
Skellington kiss.
Skellington kiss.
Van Helsing, his eyebrows raised. He's never heard of the Skellington's kiss before. It turns out to be a secret kind of ancient kiss that breaks his curse, and he will lose all his powers if he does the kiss.
Can I? Yes. Now, I want to ask you guys, because I'm enjoying reading this. Do you think it was wrong that I put all that exposition in the stage direction? I don't actually explain it in the script.
It doesn't actually come back up in the script from what I could tell.
But because I did think...
It's not supposed to come through with the eyebrows, I think.
Yeah, this is a choice that I made. I know that Quentin Tarantino gets a lot of great press for writing really fun scripts to read. And I was trying to do the same thing, just give the audience, the reader, some information that that the people watching the movie would never have.
It must be a very different experience to watch this film than it would be to just read it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff like that.
Well, there's a ton of Easter eggs for the readers of the movie, which is great because I feel like when you get the book at Academy Awards season, obviously you guys get screeners from, and also the books, the shooting scripts. It's fun because I think, I look forward to award season just to get all those shooting scripts and I just kind of page through and just read them all. And it's, I'm always like, oh, did another shooting script come today? I can't wait to read this one, and
sometimes you feel the package and it feels like it might be a DVD, but then you open it up and it's a shooting script.
I'm so excited.
What a great feeling.
I love
Christmas,
it. And if I get a nice, a nice USB drive, I could just pop that in and I can bring those shooting scripts anywhere. And Warner Brothers is great with that. The great USB drives, all the scripts on there.
And they're fun.
I got Gahool on that USB.
Oh, yeah.
Gahool, yes. I'm saving that one for a long drive.
Well, I love it because, for me too, it's like there's no surefire way to let someone know that you're in the biz. And when you put a USB drive in that has it says Batman, Gahool, Captain Phillips, whatever. And I think that that's the secret handshake of Hollywood is what's on your USB drive.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, all is lost. You can do it about one sitting. And I do mean on the toilet.
I appreciate that a lot of these guys will just put the song cue in the script, but you sort of do the lyrics in a column on the side.
We write where like an AV script. I got my start in industrials. So that's, I was used to that kind of writing. And it's more fun that way, too. Mm. Column writing is more fun.
And that it's just kind of as you remember the lyrics, and it's not always exactly right. But.
Yeah, well, I think that, that's also a rights issue. Thing and because these songs are
good
expensive.
Protection.
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't want to necessarily go like, well, we definitely need that Taylor Swift song. It's like, well, this is my remembrance of the Taylor Swift song.
Yeah, so ultimately you could just do it if it came
out.
Because you know the lyrics.
Like
you're showing that you know the lyrics.
Yeah,
so
shake it out. Shake it out.
But there's some other, you mentioned some other Easter eggs and it is interesting. Van Helsing has a resorbed twin in his shoulder according to the stage directions.
Yes.
But he's sort of feeding little baby carrots to and stuff off screen.
Well, I think the people. People said that thing about what's in the suitcase in Pulp Fiction.
Oh,
and if you
yeah.
read the script, you'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
It's gold.
Yes. Yeah, it is gold.
Yes, and that's why it glows.
Well, but it's not even gold, and that's the thing. It's not even gold. It's actually, I mean, maybe you read it as gold. I thought it was.
It says gold.
Well, I thought it was, I mean, the way I read it was.
Gold coins.
Gold coins, yeah.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
And
that's not just gold, because there's gold bars. But the coins,
right. That's what
and it's very specific. It's not those chocolate ones with the gold foil on them.
Yeah, yeah.
They're real gold. It's like
the blooms.
It says it's real gold coins.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that adds so much more to Pulp Fiction now, knowing that.
Knowing that they wanted them because gold's worth money.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of money. I mean,
ever since that movie.
Yeah. But the thing is, and this is, I mean, we all know this because of the way that we do our finances. You wouldn't want to carry gold bars in a briefcase because it'd be weigh you down, but gold coins would be a lot lighter.
A lot lighter, yes.
You could carry a lot more.
Should we continue from the pick up at the kiss?
Well, I mean, I think you know how that kind of goes, right? I mean, they kiss and that, you know, he goes and he kills those vampires.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is sort of the detours you took in this film because it does set you up for a pretty straight, he's going to be in college and just hanging out. He wins, you know, he scores the winning touchdown, he kisses the girl. Mm-hmm. But then there is also, you know, some scenes that maybe I wouldn't expect from the setup.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And I think, you know, I think the one scene, you know, probably the scene that you're talking about, and this is a scene that I got excited by, is it's a full-on abortion scene. I mean, and it's something that he...
Yeah.
Goes with his friend to see her have an abortion.
Well,
I'm sorry. I'm laughing at it because it's like the scene in 40 Year Old Virgin where they're ripping the hair off his chest. It's funny to see it live.
Well, and the curses she's saying is not traditional. Maybe first it's like we'll hear it, but she's not reacting the way.
Well, and Van Helsing has to come in because, I mean, little did he know that she was having a devil baby, and that's, he's there and he gets to, and so he stabs it. So it actually, I think it was important that abortion scene was there. And also maybe when I did write the script, I had just seen Blue Valentine, so I will put that out there.
So let's do that. Let's start with that one. I guess first they're kind of in the waiting room, and so it says interior waiting room. Van Helsing and Bree are sitting there. Mm-hmm. It kind of seem like maybe they're not sure what to say to each other.
Mm-hmm. These magazines are so out of date.
You know one thing, never to be out of date is our love, and even though we are going to stop one part of our relationship, I want you to know I'll always be there for you.
Which part are we stopping?
The baby.
Right, yeah. Oh, I didn't know if you meant stop having sex.
No, we'll continue that.
But, and okay, I will not. But the baby's an actual part of the relationship. Okay,
and I will promise you, I will never wear a condom. I do not put that foul beast anywhere near me. Now look. When we go in there,
you said that a lot. You seem to think that's a sticking point for me.
Van Helsing isn't used to modern times. That's what it says.
That's a reminder to the audience that there are differences.
Yeah,
the condom to him is weird.
You check in with that a couple times.
Yeah.
He doesn't trust it.
Yeah. So
lot of us older guys don't really.
And that's why one of the funniest scenes in the movie is when he talks to the water cooler. Because he hears people go, he goes, I heard that there's great water cooler talk. And he thought, he's used to dealing with kind of weird creatures.
Yeah, yeah. To him, it looks like some sort of water beast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then when he goes to, like, you know, he says to the, you know, he says to the beast, he's like, you know, what did you watch on reality TV?
Well, let's just do that scene.
Oh, right, yeah. Great.
Interior office break room. Van Helsing observes a water cooler from afar. He gets his courage up, and finally he is able to approach it.
Hello, water cooler.
Blah, 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 blah.
I guess we must have a conversation. Do
drip,
you like...
Drip, drip.
The noise of the water cooler starts to make Van Helsing sweat in sort of a stimulated way.
I think you are very attractive.
Trip.
And trip. I would like to see if you would like to go with me to the dance.
Pan down to reveal that Van Helsing's dick is already stuck in the water cooler.
Just let me get it in there for a second. I will warn you, I don't wear condoms. I don't put that foul creature anywhere near me.
Ben also gets used to boy, I sure am thirsty for a glass of whoa, yo, mister.
You never saw anything. Hi-ya!
It turned out that the guy was a vampire. He dies in this vampire way.
Freeze. Hey, everybody. I really thought that was a Frankenstein. Unfreeze.
So I thought that was fun. And now just out of the scene for a second. Do you like that Van Helsing talks to the audience like Cuffs style? That's Christian Slater's, my favorite Christian Slater movie, Cuffs. He talks to the camera a little bit. A little Ferris Bueller, a little Cuffs action there.
Well, yeah. When he confesses is so interesting because what you maybe thought as a viewer is that he killed the guy out of embarrassment, and then he was lucky that it turned out to be a vampire, but it really was that he was trying to kill him because he thought it was a Frankenstein.
Well, I think he's lying to the audience. He's an unreliable narrator. Okay. So I think he is embarrassed. Yeah, he is embarrassed, and then he kind of tries to tell the audience, like, hey, don't lose faith in me as a main character that I just killed an innocent civilian. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a Frankenstein.
To me, it's jarring that it only happens once, and it's a solid 65 pages into the script.
I know.
Because if you remember in Cuffs, he does it a few times and he kind of gets you used to it first.
Yeah, yeah. I will say that.
You want to do your own thing, but.
Yeah. A lot of that stuff went out in editing when I was editing down the script. Because we started with I had a 175 page script, and now this is down to 82 pages. And we were just cutting it and just losing things that didn't kind of fit. But that one always worked because he did kill a civilian and I wanted to justify that. And that's a big scare moment, too. Just if we're counting scares, that's a big scare moment.
Do you want to take a look at the end? The end is... I found the end actually very sad.
The post-credit scene?
Yes.
Or do you want to just do the end, the traditional end?
Which would you prefer?
Well, the post-credit scenes is fun. I mean, but that's a tease for the next, you know, the universe.
Yes, you wrote a stinger into there.
Yeah.
Yes, that's interesting.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, that's a simple, that would be, you know, obviously all CGI, and we get a big name actor to do it. You know, I was thinking Steve Buscemi. Let's read the post-credit scene real
quick.
Okay,
great. Let's do that. Interior, empty room. It seems like everybody's gone. The credits begin to roll.
But did you forget about me? I'm Mr. Skeleton. And I still got a kiss for everyone out there in that audience. Pucker up.
Oh, that's the big scare.
That's the big scare. Yeah.
Oh, what a scary idea.
Yeah, so the audience is getting the Skellington's kiss.
Mm.
And they leave not knowing what it has affected them with. Are they? Well, they do know because he does go on to say, you know, now that I've kissed you, you might be possessed. You might have the murderous instinct, or you might be on your deathbed. Either way, you've been kissed by the Skellington. And then hashtag Skellington's kiss, and that's to get people to.
No, it's kiss. Right here.
That is a typo. But I do want to make sure that people leave the theater tweeting, and that was important for me to put the hashtag up there because you know, obviously social media is all about getting the word out.
Yes,
and that's fun.
So as far as notes, I would say that this movie is funny and smart and nice and it's cool.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny. Mm-hmm. And I laughed at it and it made me think a lot.
It's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It was had some real badass moments that I thought were cool.
It's fun.
And it is fun and there's some great stuff you did there.
Thank you.
I'm not sure I get it.
Sure.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, sure.
Yes.
Sure. Sure.
And I'm not sure anyone would.
Well, I beg to differ. I think that... First of all, Twilight movies were very big, and that was pretty much about a high school movie, right? And I think that
College Town High School.
Okay,
high school movies. This is College Town.
I know, but I'm just saying. But I feel like you know people are interested in collegiate monsters and collegiate look. There's Tom Sawyer, there's Huckleberry Finn, there's Van Helsing. They're literally, and we've never seen Van Helsing in college. And I think one of the fun thing about it is that we get to see him as Van Helsing, the one that we know and we love, because we don't want to see a pimply face Van Helsing.
No.
And I think it's an undercover movie. I mean, look, let me go through all the genres that it is. It's a college movie.
Yes.
It is a gross out comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It is a relationship movie.
Yes, kisses.
It is a undercover movie, which I think you can classify as movies as that. It is a horror movie. It is a thriller movie. It is a scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a true biopic. You know, and
you said this was based on a true story.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's an abortion
related to your
film,
own.
I mean.
What?
Well, it's an abortion film. I mean, it's a statement
film.
Oh,
yes. I forgot about that. And look, I mean,
well, we jumped out of that scene pretty quick, but it was because it just went on. It was a lot of stage direction just describing what that procedure is.
I'm nervous. I am nervous, though, because of Obvious Child now that kind of took a lot of the steam with the abortion stuff. Now I don't want to feel like
it's handled very similarly.
Well, I don't want to feel like I'm copying.
Yeah.
But I will say that I've been working on the script for a very, very, very long time.
And isn't it true that you one time caught Jenny Slate going through a drawer of yours?
That's true. I would tell you, the way that she would say it is that I was in her house and she caught me going through one of her drawers, but who owns anything?
Yes, well, as one-eighth Native American, I very much relate to that.
It's all the land.
It's all, yes, it's the planet owns everything, and I just happen to be here existing with it.
My one note is that Van Helsing did not end up marrying anyone, actually.
He had to go back to fighting vampires.
That is something that I think people will be looking for, though, because of the title being
Looks Like I Married Van Helsing.
So,
well, I mean,
I just say prepare for that.
Well, so who is saying that?
That's the big question, because he doesn't ever get married. So it's someone who's crazy.
You guys are reading into
it. Well, that's what I didn't get. I'm saying I didn't understand that part of it.
All right.
Am I reading into it too much?
All right. Do we have to do this? I'm embarrassed now to even do this for you. I'm gonna do this to you for right now. And this is annoying to me, but I'll do it. Here, hold on one second.
There are two skeletons' kisses.
Yes, yes, yes.
But so that part,
very different ones.
Hold on, I'm gonna go through this. You just get ready. Okay. This is an ad that just popped up. Okay, so Fury. That's a movie that's out, right?
Mm. We've complained about this exact same thing because in the poster
the guy's relaxing.
He's taking a rest and he doesn't look mad at all. He looks very like he's on a vacation.
He's relaxing and he's a good looking guy.
No, all right, same
thing. I actually know who he is. He's got a great thing going.
All right, look, I'm looking at most of the titles of these movies and none of them really relate to the movie.
A lot of them aren't doing great.
Well, I
Paul,
guess
I don't know if you've read all the box office reports.
What did you go to your phone to look for?
I don't know if you've been on Box Office Mojo.
Movies?
I'm looking at movies.
Look up movies?
Maze Runner. Do they run a maze in that?
Yes, that's almost exclusively what
they
do.
There is one part where they do.
All right. Well, okay. Dear White People, is someone writing a letter in that?
Annabelle,
is that about a character named Annabelle?
Mm.
Well, we talked about already how that was a trick movie.
Okay. Mm,
yes.
The Judge, is that about a judge? Is Birdman about a Birdman? Is John Wick about John Wick? Here's a great one. Is Ouija about Ouija? Is Gone Girl about a Gone Girl? Is Interstellar about some sort of interstellar travel? No. The answer is no to all of these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know the answer, but I'll see those and then I'll tell you maybe if they are.
I love the
But he makes a good point because the title is just a sales tool.
Everything is about sales. It's about, again, comes back to what I said in the beginning, tracking.
Mm. And I hate feeling producted. Do you guys hate being producted by these movies?
That feels like a great Bernie Mac bit. Was that a Bernie Mac? I thought you were doing a Bernie Mac bit.
Is that a Bernie Mac bit?
I think that is a Bernie Mac bit. I hate being producted.
Well, what is he going to do with it?
Well, and very true.
Right? Is that bad? I mean, what is he going to do? Is that offensive? Is he going to do a stand-up comedy bit anymore?
No, that's not offensive.
I'm in the middle of actually trying to make Baby's Kids into a horror film.
Well, that guy is, I think, alive.
That guy, no.
No, that
guy's dead, too.
That's. That wasn't that Bernie
Mac? No, it's Robin something.
Oh, my gosh, guys.
We better look up Bebe's Kids as long as you've got movies typed in your phone already.
I'm going to look at
Bebe's. You just have to add a couple letters to go movies Bebe's Kids.
All right, Bebe's Kids.
You guys
are right. It was Robin Harris. Robin Harris is
You think everybody loves Bernie.
Right. Yes.
Paul, thank you so much for coming on the show. And
yeah, great.
Oh,
and we will do yours.
Well, hang on, something's wrong for Paul.
He's mad because we haven't done his yet. We will, Paul. We will do your show. We will do it. We'll figure out a time to do the show.
Thank you. That's why I came here.
Schedule. It's
everything. I mean,
it's a lot. That's a lot. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you guys giving me a chance to workshop this script. And like I said, your notes were great, and I'm not going to take them, but I really appreciated hearing them.
Well, we're
it's helpful just to hear them. Yes, we're all pulling for you, and we can't wait to see you. If and what you do next.
Well, so thank you.
So thanks for being here. And everybody at home, could you like us on Facebook? Could you do me a favor? Could you rate us on iTunes?
Yes. And you can talk to us on the forums. And somebody did that this week, and they got the pro version. Boy Genie.
Boy Genie did it.
Boy Genie got the pro version.
And so as a prize, we're going to send you a flash drive with 3 Hollywood shooting scripts on it, Boy Genie. And we each select what our favorite has been from this past year.
And you get 1 Skellington's Kiss from Steve Buscemi at the end of the movie. And it's for Boy Genie.
I love it.
But they like when you say their name.
I have to say their name, Boy Genie?
Yeah, but
well,
do
that's
it in,
enough.
Like, bye.
Hey there, Boy Genie. Get a Skellington's Kiss.
I said bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The wolf dead.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.